A stranger with a gun came upon two teens taking pictures under a rising full moon. But violence is only the beginning of this story.
Sometimes I thought, there are no miracles. Yeah, there are, and this is a big one.
I'm Amy Donaldson, and I've spent my career talking about how lives are undone by violence. The Letter is a podcast about how lives are remade. Follow The Letter at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
Good morning. Thank you for joining us for the KSL Greenhouse Show. Maria Chaleos, Ton Bettis with you this morning. We are taking your calls at 801-575-8255. You can text us at 57500. A lot of interest in house plants this morning, Ton. Our next listener wants to know, they have a Hoya plant that was left to them by their grandmother, so it has that sentimentality. It's over 50 years old, but unfortunately, they left for 3 months and no one watered it, and a few branches don't seem to be dead. Few do. Some won't break when they're bent, which means it sounds like part of the plant is still alive. Do you think they can save it? What's the best way to do that? Well, you must turn on the microphone.
What I would do is prune out anything that's surely dead and see what you've got. I would check the roots, and if it's probably a pretty big plant, so that will be a little difficult. But all they can really do is water it. Don't overwater it. Just make sure that the soil is moist and give it several weeks. You know, not just a month, but I'm talking 2 or 3 months maybe to see if those roots will regenerate or any of those branches will relieve. Some of the even tropical rainforest plants have survival mechanisms built into them, especially if they're native to areas that have a dry season, that they will just go completely dormant, almost like our trees do here in the winter, and they will regenerate from roots. And so if they have some of those protection mechanisms built in, it could come back. But if it doesn't come back after 2 to 3 months, it probably will not.
So could they put like some new potting soil? What are the prime conditions for that plant?
I mean, they could hire a company like Cactus and Tropicals to come in, and if it's of size, they just can't transplant it. You know, there's always a bill for stuff like that, but if they wanted, you know, a company to come in and transplant it into a slightly larger pot with new soil, sometimes that might stimulate some new rooting just because you've jostled it and some of the roots will be damaged, which will then generate new root growth. But in and of itself, transplanting it is not going to be a miracle, but it may stimulate some things if it's done correctly.
Okay. What are the prime conditions for that plant?
Hoya likes bright indirect light, so off to the side of a west or a south window, and then watered sufficiently. So make sure the soil's moist and then check it 2 or 3 days later to make sure that it was watered thoroughly. Make sure that it's drained at the bottom so that it's not in standing water. They might, even though it's the wrong kind time of year, get some houseplant fertilizer like Osmocote and apply Osmocote to it so that it gets a supply of nitrogen, because nitrogen can stimulate new growth.
That was my next question. Yeah, fertilizer. Okay. And good luck. Next person would like to know if it's possible to prune a ficus back to a smaller size.
Yes and no. A lot of those ficus are just really touchy on being moved. Once you get them established, it's not that they're super hard to grow, but they just don't like to be disturbed. And I've seen several times to where people will bring home a brand new ficus tree from the nursery, get it in their house, and then 2 weeks later, a third of the leaves just fall off. Those leaves will regenerate. And so if you wanted to do that, then you could just do very minimal pruning. So what you would do is look for the branches that are getting too big, follow them back down into the crown, and clip them from within the crown. Oh. To leave younger branches instead of just giving it a haircut.
Okay. Do they go through a season where they actually do drop their leaves anyway? Because I've noticed I have a very large one in my living room, and this time of year it decides, oh, I'm going to drop some leaves.
They do. If those leaves are not collecting a lot of sunlight, they will drop inner canopy leaves that are not profitable to the plant anymore. And is some of the species of ficus, it's quite common for them every 2 to 3 years to shed up to a third of their leaves.
Yeah, it happens. And I go, the first time it happened, I thought, oh my gosh, this tree's going to die and it's beautiful. I don't want to lose it. My biggest problem is turning it so the backside gets sunlight too.
Yes. And as they get bigger, it becomes harder.
Oh yeah, the backside of the plant does not look good.
No, there's a building I used to deliver to a long time ago here in West Salt Lake, a few miles from here, that has this huge atrium lobby.
Mm-hmm.
And somebody, it looks like 20 or 30, 40 years ago, planted ficus trees right in the ground in their lobby.
Wow.
And so some of the biggest ficus trees, and I'm not sure if they're still there, were growing up, and they almost just looked like shade trees.
Wow.
Growing in this atrium, and it was pretty neat to
see.
Pretty
beautiful, right? Let's take our first caller. That is Ernie in Bountiful. Good morning, Ernie. How can we help you this morning?
Yeah, good morning. I live on the Bountiful Bench here, and my neighbor's home is above mine. So I have a retaining wall made of rarotize to hold back the dirt that's on my neighbor's property. And a few of my rarotize have bent over significantly due to the roots of my neighbor's tree. I have taken those ties out and have cut the roots of the neighbor's tree so I can reinstall my railroad ties vertically. But I'm tempted to poison those cut roots so that they don't grow back and knock over my retaining wall again. But I don't want to kill their tree. What do I do?
Well, be careful, because if you did decide to, say, put Roundup on the roots or another herbicide, if you do cause harm to the tree on the neighbor's property, you could be financially liable. And so you don't want to go that route. And so legally, you are within your rights, I believe, I'm not an attorney, to sever those roots at the property line, so that they don't invade your property, and the neighbor's financially responsible, technically, to pay for that root removal. Now, you can, short of physical barriers, there is not a chemical solution to this. And so you would almost have to trench 2 to maybe 2.5 feet deep and put in a barrier of corrugated aluminum, like almost like tin roofing. Or you can, like forestry suppliers, and there's a few others that will sell plastic barrier that's at least 2 to 2.5 feet in depth that you snap together. But you would have to put in a physical barrier, and I think eventually the tree's roots would go under it, but it would be several years.
Oh, okay. All right. Thank you for your advice. Have a good day.
It may be worth having a chat with your neighbor if you know them, because they may not know what the tree's doing, and a lot of times people are horrified and will want to correct this situation. So it may be worth having a chat with the neighbors too.
Okay, thank you very much.
All right, Ernie, thanks for your call this morning. The number to call with your questions, 801-575-8255. You can text us at 57500. Bob, you're up next on the line when we come back.
It's the story of an American held in a dark Venezuelan prison.
Then all of a sudden, they all kind of lined up. They pointed their guns at me. And this is the point where I thought, I'm going to die today.
I'm Becky Bruce. I spent a year working on Hope in Darkness, which now has more than 2 million downloads. Find it on KSLPodcast.com or wherever you listen to podcasts.
Good morning. Thank you for spending your Saturday morning with the KSL Greenhouse Show. Maria and Ton with you, 801-575-8255, the number to call. You can also text us at 57500. Bob is on the line from Bountiful. Good morning, Bob.
Hey, good morning. My question is, I have some ornamental grasses in my flower gardens around the front of the house. I live in Bountiful. And I'm wondering, now that they've gone their cycle and they're turning browns and drying out, with winter within the next week or less, should I cut those down as low as I can to the ground and then just let them re-sprout, or let the snow pack them down?
If you let the snow pack them down, they're miserable to clean up in the spring. They'll partially rot. So I would actually just get a pair of hand shears or an electric pruning shears and just cut them down.
Okay,
it's
that's
going
what
to be
I thought.
Much easier now.
All right. Well, thank you for your following up on that with me. I appreciate it.
All right, Bob. Thanks for your call this morning. Besides the fact that they die, the leaves die, and then they just blow everywhere.
They do. That's one thing that people say, oh, leave them the lad ornament, but the snow smashes them, and they become a mess. And then they will partially rot, so they become slimy, but there's fibers in there that don't give, so they're hard to pull. So right now, if you haven't done that fall cleanup, I'd get it done.
And then they look better in the spring, too, because
they really
starting
do.
With new growth.
Yeah, I mean, if you leave them and they start to sprout, they try to grow up through, it just becomes harder to do. And if I were to wait for spring, I would cut them in the spring as soon as snow melts off before they break dormancy. But I've changed my opinion over the years on letting them sit all winter just because they're just so messy to clean up in the spring.
Next listener wants to know, when is the best time to prune their burning bushes? Also, their plants are about 4 feet tall. Can they take a foot of growth away from them? This is Dwayne that's asking.
Okay. Mid-March, so put your pruners away. Go golfing, whatever it is you want to do. Build some raised beds.
Might be able to golf today, but after
yes.
that, I'm not sure.
Yeah. So you could, if you had to, and I think they would be okay. It's something I've done in my past when you're a starving student, you know, you need to earn money, but I would wait for mid-March. And if you took a foot off them, yes, that's fine. It's not something I would do every year. And if you hedge them every year, I would hedge them in the spring and leave them alone the rest of the year because they'll grow a foot to 18 inches every year or so.
All right. Next listener would like to know how to winterize a potted mum. Do they need water through the winter? Do they leave them outside or inside? Do they cover them? I'm just going to say good luck. I've tried this.
Yeah, I was going to have Dave cue up the Circle of Life song from the Disney movie.
I've tried to do this.
And it would be something that is part of the compost pile. That's the best way to winterize them. Once they're done blooming, if they're still in a pot.
So I had one in a pot that I had out on my porch, and I've been trying to keep it alive, and it's looking really awful.
Yeah.
What happens? Why can I save other plants but not those?
Mums are tricky because even if you purchase garden mums when they're in full blast bloom in mid-September.
Well, that's what I did.
And this is going back to Brian Lloyd, but I've had other horticulturists.
He's told me not to do it,
yes.
But I still tried it.
What happens is they put so much into flower formation that they don't form a lot of new roots. And as the soil freezes, they've given their all to flower, and they have nothing in reserve to make it over the winter. And so if you're going to try to overwinter them, you would actually put them, let them go dormant and clip them back and put them in an unheated shed or garage at a temperature between about 35 and 40 degrees. Keep them watered and then bring them out in the spring. Let them get established all summer and then they should overwinter.
Okay. Our next person says, when do I prune my butterfly bush?
You can probably, that's one of the few things I would wait for February, March, but if they had to, it could probably be done now, but I would wait. And then the butterfly bush, depending on how brave they are, it's actually treated almost like a perennial to where you cut it, depending on its size, anywhere from 6 to 18 inches off the ground and just let it regenerate from new growth.
All right, the number to call with your questions, 801-575-8255. You can text us at 57500. I'm having Caitlin put up on the KSL Greenhouse Facebook page a video on how to take care of your poinsettias through the season. I know a lot of people are buying poinsettias, and they are beautiful, but check out the video on the KSL Greenhouse Facebook page, and we'll be back following the top of the hour news.
I'm Dave Cawley, investigative journalist and host of the podcast, Cold. In October of 1985, a woman named Cherie Warren left work at a busy Salt Lake City office
to meet her estranged husband at a downtown auto dealership.
She never made it home. Cherie's car surfaced weeks later in Las Vegas.
In the parking lot of a hotel casino.
No one knows how it got there.
Strange. It was strange.
Both Cherie's estranged husband and her boyfriend raised suspicion for investigators.
I kind of thought that he might have done something.
But no arrests were ever made. In Cold Season 3, we dig into double lives, make new connections in the case, and examine the difficulty raised by reasonable doubt.
We want answers just as much as anyone else.
They have creeps like that now too, so nothing's changed.
That's the new Cold Season 3, The Search for Cherie. Now available anywhere you get your podcasts.